A new report out this morning finds that life for African Americans in Boston is better in some ways, but large challenges remain. The report is called 2011, The State of Black Boston. It focuses on 9 key areas, including education, health, and civic engagement. To talk about the findings, we were joined in the studio by Darnell Williams, president of the Urban League of Eastern Massachusetts. This week, the chapter is hosting the organization's 100th annual conference. It's in Boston for the first time in 35 years. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, but first we asked Williams to start by talking about the report's findings.
The positive is that Boston is, in fact, a majority city. 53% of the people who live here are either African Americans, Caribbean blacks, Latinos, and Asian, which makes up the larger portion of Boston's population. That's a fact that many people don't realize. And so that's some good news, is that we are, in fact, embracing diversity. We've made significant strides in terms of race relations. It doesn't mean that we're out of the woods, that we are not experiencing some episodes here and there that will remind us that we still have much more work to do.
There's been social progress in racial groups, education gains, more black-owned businesses in the city, according to the report. But on the negative side, the report is very critical of the state of health care among African Americans. For example, infant mortality among black mothers with at least some college education is higher than the rate among white mothers with just a high school education. What's gone wrong in this area, and how to fix that?
Well, I think what the report is trying to say is that when we look at these areas specifically, there's a stark contrast between white health and black health. And all that does is just, it reveals to us that's an area we need to pinpoint and focus in on. There are some cultural issues, there are economic factors. The complexity associated with it is not to just simply say, here is a stat and everything is not working. The point is that here is a fact that we need to address so that we can reduce it. We can reduce it not only with the healthcare providers, but also with educating the folks who are also in need of that care as well as access. So it really gives us a call to action around these particular highlights.
Big picture question here. Boston, as we know, has had a rocky history in terms of race relations, the tensions and the violence surrounding school busing back in the 70s. For decades, Boston was dogged by a reputation, among some, of being the most racist city north of the Mason-Dixon line. In general, given the current issues that you found in the report and given the positives you found in the report, has life changed for the better for African Americans in the Boston area?
I would say yes, it has. And what I mean by that is that if we went back to the time that the report, or in terms of the things that you've indicated, I would say that somebody from Southie or Charlestown and somebody from Roxbury would not be inviting each other's over to each other's house to have some Boston cream pie, or we'll be playing basketball together, or going, I'll meet you at Carson Beach. I don't think that would have been the invitational ask, or somebody say, I'll meet you at the Silver Slipper in Roxbury, inviting somebody from Southie. I do believe that those kind of cross-fertilizations happen today. Does that mean we're out of the woods, Bob? Absolutely not. But I don't think it's that same toxic level. I think that we have really come a long way as a city where we've made significant progress. And I believe in my heart of hearts that Boston is a much better city than it was.
So then, looking ahead to the Urban League's national conference in Boston this week, you're hosting it here in Boston. Last time it was here was in 1976, when we were reeling in the busing crisis. Does Boston deserve the national spotlight now? Is the conference a test of Boston as a welcoming city for black people?
Oh, absolutely. I think it becomes a watershed moment, an opportunity for us to say that Boston recognizes, and it needs to be, that myth or image of Boston needs to be diminished and eliminated. And the conference becomes a catalyst exactly for that. We believe that Boston is a welcoming city. There's $64 billion on an annual basis by meeting planners of African Americans and Latinos. So this conference becomes an opportunity to say, if Boston has really changed, which we believe it has, then it's an opportunity for us to penetrate that market.
$64 billion in meeting planning money, you mean?
That's correct. And on an annual basis, that people go to Miami or Chicago, Philadelphia and Baltimore and Detroit and Los Angeles and St. Louis. Boston is not high on that list for people of color because of this lingering perception about what Boston is. Our job is to change that. We need to take the critics of Boston and turn them into ambassadors.
So what do you hope will come out of the conference for Boston in particular, and how do you achieve that goal?
Well, I think we achieve it by, one, making sure that there's a substantive, rich content for people to come and have a desire to come to Boston as a destination. And having visited here and enjoyed the conference, they will maybe consider Boston to send their children to college here. They may want to come and visit subsequently to that, either coming to here to go to the Cape or the Vineyard and walk our city and see some of the historical sites, the Black Freedom Trail, the Mass Jazz, Black Film Festival. There are so many opportunities for them to recognize the cultural vibrancy of Boston, and we believe this conference will give them a first chance opportunity to taste the Boston that we know.
Darnell Williams, president of the Urban League of Eastern Massachusetts, thank you very much for coming in. Appreciate it. Good to see you again.
It's great to see you, Bob, and thank you as well. Have a great day.